We are so grateful to be here. You know, I mean, we have seen pictures of you, and we have, you know, heard so many good news from people visiting here. We have a couple of Indonesian students, so they get to visit. So, you know, to follow the worship team, es un placer conocerte. So, this is, you see a bit of the map of Indonesia in the red ink. You know, that's Indonesia among the world. We are between the continent of Asia and Australia. We have the best weather all year round. The best Perfect. Beaches. So this is a formal invitation from the government. But what I want to share is what God is working through disciples all over Indonesia. You know, we are known to be the country in the ring of fire. If you understand what it means, it is the center of all disasters. You know, we have had tsunami a couple times. We have had earthquakes many times. And the latest one was the one in eastern Indonesia, in Sulawesi Island. And if you read and follow the news, that's the liquefaction happened where the whole neighborhood just went down into the earth. And we didn't even know how many people died. And you know, we were devastated because we have a small mission team there. And the leader's car was smashed, but everybody was safe. And we know God is working. You know, in the midst of that disaster and suffering, we see how God works. God brought in all the resources. And we also appreciate the heart of the disciple. They're like, you know what? Bring our children and our wife. Just like in the Old Testament. You know, keep them safe. But we'll stay here and serve people. Wow. And if you see the next, the last two building that was newly built to serve them and to be the health center and to be the therapy center for the people that lost their family. And we really appreciate that all this time, we are not just going to help them during disaster, but it's actually to provide them the support all year round so that they have the courage to face life. So it's not only giving them health, but we also provide them with emotional therapy. There has been team that went back and forth to provide play therapy for the children. And that is what Hope is doing in Indonesia. And we are so blessed and proud to see the heart of brothers and sisters. Because they are not just living their faith, reaching out, evangelizing, but they lived out their faith by serving people who are suffering. And we are so grateful to be here. It's great to see faces and to get to meet all of you. Thank you so much.
I would like, first of all, to thank all the worship team for really helping all of us, leading us to really worship God this morning. Thank you so much for sending John and Arlene to Indonesia a few years ago. I just want to know the church loved them. We built a relationship since then. And today we're able to be in New York. Many people come here to go and see Times Square. Many people. We met the Brazilian. We met so many people. Oh, why are you here? They said, we want to see Times Square. And when they asked us, why are you here? We said, we want to see the church, the Big Apple Church. And people like, what? What is Big Apple Church? You say, so you don't know Big Apple Church? Come and see, all right? So you know what? We'll be praying. So eventually when people around the world, they come, they don't come just to see Times Square. They're going to come and worship together in Big Apple Church. Amen? This is to be our prayer. Today I'll be talking about God. Absolutely. I'm glad we're all here. We laugh and we agree. Because you know what? I hope before we come to this building, we already have a preparation. We don't just come to Sunday service because we are so used to that. I hope we have attitude even a day before that. We already prepare our heart. We're going to come because we want to see God and what God's going to do in our lives and through our lives. You know, I start having this attitude few years ago, because as a minister, it's very easy for me to come to a church on Sunday and do our routine and talk about God. But the question is, does God really know that Harlem, you have me in your heart? Then in your mind, yet you have me. Of course we're going to talk about God because this is a church service. But I pray this morning that we're not going to just talk about God, but I pray this morning that God's going to work in each and every one of our heart here and our mind. Amen. I pray that God become real and more real. It's not about information. It's about God's revelation to each and every one of us here. So that when we go back, we know, we understand what is the purpose that God has for the church and for each and every one of us here. I pray that we become clearer. God's plan become clearer. And we understand why God give us grace and why God want to show his glory, not to the Israelites, but to this church, to the disciples in New York, to each and every one of us here. So let's come to God and let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much, God, that we can worship you this morning. Thank you, God, that I can be born in Indonesia and the brothers and sisters here can be born in different places. And we know, Father, there's no coincidence. We believe, Father, that every one of us here, you have a purpose, you plan it, and you give us power, Father, to live this awesome life on earth. Before we all, for eternity, be with you in heaven. I pray, Father, none of us here will take our life and live our life just a rash usual life. Just like the way people in the world live their life. Father, sometimes we can get so busy. We live in Jakarta with 18 million people. I come here to New York, God. Everyone is busy with their lives. Father, help us to take the time. Take the time. Just understand why. Why you want us to be your disciple. Help us, Father, to live that life. I pray, Father, that your word today will help us, Father, to see again clearer about your purpose in our life. Thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of the message this morning is From Grace to Glory. So I'm going to walk us through about God's grace from the beginning of the time and how God showed his glory. Amen. Amen. So this is pretty high tech. I love it, all right? So this is my family. You have seen my wife. These are my daughter, Athalia and Athena. So great just to be able to be in Boston and build friendship with Elise. And Elise came over to Jakarta for a few years. We enjoyed the time together. So Tasha right now, Athalia is basically working in Singapore. And we just visited our daughter last week in Chicago. Athena is right now is doing her grad school in Northwestern Chicago. So I'm very blessed. I look at the picture. It's beautiful. It's Beauty and the Beast. You know, so. But I want to know. I grew up in dysfunctional family. When I was 13 years old, my mom and dad got divorced. And the both of them sit down in one corner, another one in the other corner. And they have four children. I was the youngest one. I look at my oldest brother walk up to my mom because we have to choose which one we should follow. And then my oldest sister walked to my mom, so 2-0. And then my other sister walked to my mom, 3-0. And I was the last one. I remember that feeling, the heaviness of that. And I wish that moment that my mom and dad could just go forgive each other and reconcile. I didn't know God. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. But I remember I prayed. I don't know which God I prayed. I said, God, please bring them together. This is so difficult. And I was walking. I was walking in the middle. I didn't heading anywhere. I look at my mom. I look at my brothers and sisters. I look at my dad. I know if I walk there, it's going to be 4-0. But if I walk to my dad, I'm going to be alone. I walk to my mom. I look at my dad. His face so down. He cried. And just be able to look at this picture. I wanted to know this is God's grace. This happened even before I knew Jesus. But God has a plan for me, for my life. That Harlem, you know what? I'm going to have grace for you, even before you know me. And I want you to seek me and find me. And I'm so grateful that it really changed my life. We are not perfect family. We are far from perfect. But I'm grateful to God every day for what God has done in my life. This is Indonesia. We have 17,000 islands. So if any one of you want to have one of the islands, please come. It's beautiful. Bali is just one of them, all right? And God has been working powerfully. We are basically the fourth most populated country in the world after the United States of America. We have 270 million people, the largest Muslim country in the world. And right now, God has really worked in a powerful way. We have churches in 35 cities with 5,400 disciples. And God entrusted them with Sea region, Southeast Asia region. Recently, the last 4 years, we have Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, on top of Japan church that has been with us. And God has been working in an incredible way. We have churches right now in 63 cities and with 8,400 disciples. And God is amazing. You know, we all know this telescope. And we know the right way to use it. Because if you use it in the wrong way, you might look at things differently. You know, we live in a very busy city and so much talent in this city. Unbelievable. I look at the worship team this morning. I'm like, what? I'm like, I've been taking a lot of pictures. I went over there, asked John, is it okay for me to take a picture over there? I don't want to look like I'm just someone come from the village, you know. Just come. I want to look good too, you know. But he said, it's okay. I took pictures. Let me tell you. Amazing, a lot of talents. We're so busy here. I arrive in New York, and this house, I don't know how many times we come to New York, everyone is busy. The pace of life here is crazy. That can be a good thing, but it can be a curse for us as well. Because you know what? We can be a Christian here. We can talk about God. On Sunday, we can preach so many lessons from the Bible. But the minute we walk out of there, we go back to our societies, to our culture. And I met many disciples in a busy city like New York that actually has a great heart. They want to do great things for God. They really do. They wake up in the morning. Life is not easy. Very busy with many responsibilities, like probably some of us here have. But you know what? We're so busy, and we're like, God, I want to do something great for you. I want to have faith. And without us realizing, we start looking at the telescope from a different way. It becomes me trying to work hard. It's about me trying to make things happen. It's about me. I got to have more faith. I got to have more faith. I don't know how many people ask me, how to have more faith? I said, that's good to have faith. But let me ask you, who do you have the faith on right now? Because it's important for us to look at how God look at things, not how you and me look at things. So this is what I'll be talking about this morning. Amen? I want to talk about the grace that comes even before the law was given. Because many people look at Old Testament, they're like, I don't like this, a lot of rules. I like New Testament, it's full of grace. Old Testament, no grace, they kill each other. It's a lot of blood there. And we read the Bible for us that is so good-hearted. We read book of Genesis, we read Exodus. The minute we hit Leviticus, we're like, what kind of book is that, you know? And then we're like filled with a lot of laws. We don't like it. So this morning, I want you to love the laws. Amen? I want you to see the law the way God looked at the law. So, you know, Acts 7, verse 22. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. He's so talented. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. If Moses living nowadays, he is one of the avengers. Mother, you know what? You'll be killing all these Egyptians. You understand? You want to save people. That's why the movie is like such a box office, because people are looking for the heroes. So, you know, this is a perfect model of a hero during that time. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God, using the God word here, was using him to rescue them. But they did not. Exodus 2 verse 17, some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescues and watered their flocks. Look at this man, such a gentleman. This is the right brother for you to marry to. The sisters are woo-hoo-hoo. It's awesome, right? Jesus is the kind of hero you want. Now let me tell you, he's educated. He's so talented. Man, this guy had it all. And he really thinks that he want to save the people. But that's from his point of view. He was frustrated. And up 40 years. In Midian, what did he do? Shepherding the flock. That's what happened. Now, look at it from the other side of the telescope now. Exodus 2 verse 2. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. This was actually the same Hebrew word that was used for Noah's ark. Wow. The basket, the Noah, the tar, basically the same thing. There's no coincidence over there. This is all God's master plan. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Moses' mother loved the son, but you know what? Every son was born will be killed. So she's like, I want to save my son. You know what? She thinks he's saving the son, but actually, it's God. This is God's grace. And not only she could save his son, but she is able to milk her son. That's amazing. That's God's grace. Verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me. And not only make your own son, but you got paid. Let me ask you, mother, how many of you? You nurse your son or daughter, you got paid. This is God's grace. This is awesome. I like to be a mother, you know. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. This is God's grace again. Verse 23, during the long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And they cried to help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on Israelites and was concerned about them because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength. Who saved them? It's God. Remember, God has not even given his law yet. Sometimes we have a wrong mindset of thinking, God, if you are really a creator, why do you give us such a difficult Bible? No. God has not even given them the law yet. God already redeemed them first. God has grace over them. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It's not Moses. But many times we got stuck. We got excited. It's good to study about the character of Moses. But it's not Moses. Moses had no clue. His people didn't want him to relieve them. It is God that relieved them. Amen? So Israelites were redeemed from Egypt before the law was given at Sinai. That's what happened in my life. God helped me. Introduce me to disciples before I even know the law of God. Now I want to talk about the second point here. The goodness of the law. And I really mean it. This is so good. For let me ask you, do you love reading the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you love meditating on it?
Yes.
You really do? Okay. See, the very reason God gave his law is because of this. Long before that, he already told Abraham. He said, you know what, Abraham? I'm God Almighty, and I want you to walk before me and be blameless. Because God is such a holy God. He said, you know what, Abraham? I chose you, and I want to have a covenant relationship with you, but I want you to know, I know you messed up. I know you have a lot of sins, sinful nature, and a lot of weaknesses, but I chose you, but I want you to walk blameless before me. Be holy because I am holy. And that's the reason he gave us the law through Moses. Romans 7 verse 12. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. This document is basically about soccer. Okay? You love soccer?
Yeah.
I don't know. In America, people say, play football. Football is with foot, you know? So, in Asia, football is soccer, basically. So, anyway, we love the sport. And when the World Cup happened, people are like, wow, it's a beautiful game. But before 1858, that was not a beautiful game. That was an ugly game. When people play soccer, there'll be like blood everywhere. That's why in Cambridge they came up with this. They came up with the rules. When they have the rules written down, soccer became famous after that. It started getting into Olympics, started getting into world. And people just love watching it because it became a beautiful game because of the law. The law is given for the purpose. That's why in Psalm 119 it says over here, the law from your mouth is more precious to me. Is it more precious to you than gold and silver?
Amen.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For us that got bitterness in our life, open the word of God, because that will make it sweet for us. Your word is a lamp to my feet. How many times we fall off? This world we don't know. I don't even know what's going to happen a week from now. I don't even know how to raise up my children. I didn't even know how to really have my marriage together. It's because of the law that really became the lamb to my feet. So I didn't have to make mistakes that people in the world make mistakes. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm talented, because you can use your talent and you still fail in your marriage. It's the word of God. They are joy to my heart. Long for your commands. I will walk about in freedom. You want real freedom? Go to the law. Because you know what? The real freedom is not the license to sin.
Right.
It's not legalism on the other end.
Right.
It's about liberty.
Amen.
And sometimes it's so easy for us to go to one end, legalism. We come to church, become disciple. We follow because we feel like I do this. It's like a checkbox. And we feel like, oh, I'm righteous because I've done that. I come to Sunday service. I give. I do this. And then to the other extreme, people said, you know what? I don't like that. I'm a free man. Let me have that freedom. But that is a license to sin. And we, and you and I know, we live long enough to know that is not real freedom. That is slavery. I was in Times Square last night with my wife. I look around. I look at so many people with empty faces. There's no freedom.
Right.
And God gave us the law so that we know exactly how to repair our relationship with people, how to be respectful to each other. There's a certain boundaries that we have, and when we are in that boundaries, let me tell you, we live the life of freedom. That is the reason why I give the law. It's a good intention, good purpose. Thirdly, I want to talk about the guilt. The guilt that comes from the law. There's a purpose why God gives the law. So we have the standard, right?
Right.
We have the standard. Let me ask you, what is the standard of integrity today for you? What is the standard of love today? There are three levels of people in the world today. The one that live for themselves. There's another level of people that live and that help other people. But when they help other people, people will come to them and say, "You are a good man." People give credit to that man. I'd been there. I used to help people. And you know what? My friends will come to me and say, "Harlem, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you. You're a great man." And I took pride in it because, you know what? That's not bad. I help people more. I got the credit. But that is not the level that God wants us to live in. There's another level the Bible calls us to. It's to live a life for the praise of God. It's not for yourself. It's not just to help other people, just join a charity and help them out. It's a life that when people look at your life, people are attracted to your God.
Amen.
People will bring glory to God, not to you, but to God.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And there is a reason why God gives us the law, so that we know exactly what standard that we got to live. When you love someone, is that so that you will be praised by people? Or is that when you love people like, there is no way, I've never seen this kind of love. I've never. I've seen many people help other people, but for them to go and help out someone that has hurt them, and not only that, they go extra mile for that. This is amazing. When they ask you, "How did you do that?" You said, "Because Jesus loved me first." That's why we need the law. And God gives the law so that you and I know we don't live up to that standard. We can't. There'll be guilt that come out of that. Especially for Asian. You're someone that always want to achieve. This standard. I remember I grew up. This was what my mom told me. Second doesn't count.
Wow.
I became number one in the class. Second doesn't count. The very reason, because I want to make my mom proud. I joined the swimming team since I was 7 years old. I swam 15 kilometers a day. I came back home. I know my mom loved me. She looked at me, second doesn't count. I feel guilty. Guilty. And I try to live up to that standard. I beat up my body to do that. But I still feel guilty. But this is very different. In Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Imagine the Israelites, now after they came up from Egypt, they were in front of Mount Sinai. They hear the thunder. They heard the thunder. And all of a sudden, they see the thick cloud. And then they were like, "What?" And then the shofar, they're so scared of that, because they didn't know what kind of God they're facing. Moses only got a glimpse of God, didn't understand God fully. But this is what God says. After he said, "Let me tell you," he basically mentioned about the Ten Commandments, and people are so afraid. God said, "Good, I want them to be fearful, so that they will not play around with sin." It's good to have fear. I mean, not all fear is bad. There's a good fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. It's good to have that. And after that, but remember, God has not even have Moses written about it. Written the law. Okay? Moses has not wrote the law that God gave to him. The Ten Commandments was just orally spoke to Moses. But it's not even written yet. Does it make sense?
Yes.
And then after that, from chapter 20 to chapter 23, God basically gave them more laws out of just the Ten Commandments. You know, in total, there's 613 laws. But out of that, God said, let me tell you, I want you to, the way you live your life, it has to be different than the way the Canaan people live their life. I want you to know there is a social responsibility. You got to show respect to each other. You have to show respect to each other's property. He's not talking about all this. And after that, Moses wrote it down. Oh no, before even Moses wrote it down, this is what happened. Verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. God, when he make a covenant, he never force people. He said, okay, I want to tell you up front. You know it. Now you decide whether you want to agree or not. You know what they say? We agree, we will obey everything. How many times before that they already said that? And then God said, okay, if that's the case, then basically Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on people, on their face, all that. I want you to know, imagine if you were there that time. The blood was sprinkled. You know, if you break only one, the punishment, the penalty, it's death. You're bounded to that agreement. That's covenant. So the people know, we are not going to play around with this. This is serious stuff. Have you ever had experience when you have agreement, the blood is pouring on your face? And they're like, oh man, this is serious, you know. So, but they already promised. They said, okay, we're going to do it. They tried and they failed. You know, from chapter 25 to chapter 31, before they failed the agreement. Because in chapter 32, we know they built that golden calf. Remember? They said obey, but somehow they already break the first, second law of the first commandment, of the Ten Commandments. You know what happened? Before that, God says, okay, I want you, Moses, to write this down. I want you to build tabernacle. Wait a minute. Let me repeat it again. I want you to build a tabernacle. I want you to build a priestly system. I want you to build this altar, all that. You read in 7 chapters, God already preparing the sacrificial system even before people broke it. Why did God do that? Because God knows they are not going to live up to that standard. God gives the law so that they know God is holy. But God knows they're going to break it. So God says, you know what? If they break it, I, as a holy God, already provide this sacrificial system. And every time they break it, they're going to go through this sacrificial system. So that, you know what? My grace will be on them again. I'll forgive them. Chapter 32, they built that golden calf. They broke that, but that's okay. There is a sacrificial system provided already. God never just gave the law without the redeeming plan behind it. That's our God. But there's a big difference here between the people. I want you to know. So if that's a problem, why God gave the law? Let me tell you, this is the issue. That's what we call the covenant rejection versus the covenant failure. Covenant failure means this is someone that really want to live up to the law, but they fail. Covenant rejection is they really reject the covenant. They don't even have the heart to do that. They reject that. Now, both, we know, fail to do the laws. But there is a big difference. Okay? Let me see. So you see, there's a covenant rejectors over there, but there's another one, it's a covenant believers. They believe that covenant. They want to keep that covenant, but as a human being, they fail. But they know if they fail, there is a sacrificial system that's already provided for them. And if they go through that, they are right in the covenant again. They're in a right relationship with God again. Well, the covenant rejectors, you know what? They don't even want that. They don't want the covenant. They think, you know what? I don't want that. This God is harsh. There's another type of covenant rejectors. There's someone that will live their life like a self-righteous man. They're like, you know what? No, I don't need God. I don't need the sacrificial system. I don't need Jesus to die on the cross. Me, I can live up to that standard. Wow. Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Look at this difference between covenant rejectors and the covenant believers that fail but can always come to God. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, the other is a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. This is covenant rejected. I don't need that sacrificial system. I don't need that sacrifice because I myself live up to that standard. And no one live up to that standard. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. I want to be a covenantary believer. I know I tried my best. I tried to be a good husband to Vanya. I tried to be a good father to my two daughters. I tried to be a disciple. I strive, but I fail every day in my life. But I can always go back to Jesus. Let me ask you, when you fail, when you fall, do you draw to Jesus? Do you draw to the fellowship in the church, or you run away from it? Because that will what make a difference between the covenant rejectors and covenant believers. I love this fellowship of brothers. Let me tell you, some of them, they are one of the worst guys ever live on earth. Okay, let me tell you. I studied by with them all kind of sin they've done. Okay, and they took pride in it. And they feel like there's no way they can live up to that standard. That's why they hate the church. They didn't like the church people. They become a free thinker. But I'm glad when they understand that there is a law. They understand this is a standard to live. This is not relative. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to God. And they start learning that law. They read the Bible. They understand that they repented from their sin. And you know, the good thing is, this is the question. What if I fall again? I said, that's okay. That's why we have Jesus. But don't take that as a license to sin. It's supposed to make you grateful. It's supposed to always make you come back to God. And there are some of them, they're super religious. These are people that serve since they were teenagers. They go to church 4 times, 5 times a week. They come to church, they're super self-righteous. They think they're all right. And you know, we tell them, let me tell you, let's look at one area in your life, whether you fail. I mean, they look at it, they didn't want to admit that in the beginning. We showed them the Bible. The law made them feel guilty. That's good. We show it again. They fail again. They fail. They didn't. So what? What? There's no way. I have a good intention. I said, yeah, I know you have good intention. You know what? But you need Jesus. You need to go through that sacrificial system that God has provided to show that you are in need of Jesus more than ever. They come back. Anyone in the world. You go out in New York. You go out there. You see people that are religious. They will curse people. They'll put aside. You go to hell. They need Jesus. There are a lot of people today that feel like, you know what? They're fed up with religion. I hope we are not the group that will look at it that way. I hope they can see that, and you are brave enough to show to them, this is it. This is the law that is required. But you know what? Even though they fail, they can always come back to Jesus. They can always come back to church, being embraced and knowing that nothing is impossible for God. Amen. We started that fellowship. It is so great to see men and women start seeing the law. They start repairing their marriage. Start rebuilding their family again. This is the Bible talk we have. Started with small people, with small group. Grow again. We have to split up the group. After we split up group, within 1 year, grow again. And then we split up again. Then grow again. Grow again. We started our parent ministry with only 6 people. Within few years, it became 250 disciples right now. These are people that used to hate God. And you know what? This can happen, the same thing here in New York, everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. This was recently, about a month ago, Vani and I went to a Bible talk. It was just 3 couples, young Christian. They just got baptized. This couple, they're super worldly. One of them, they are the one that lead the, what do you call, illegal sports game. He got a lot of money. They did it online. He got so much money, illegal. Another couple that like to beat up people, okay? These 3 couples were so bad in the world. But you know what? After they understand God, they know the law, they change, they brought out their friends. We were there, 18 people show up. And I look at this young Christian, they didn't know much to do. They didn't know. They were not that trained. And one is like trying to fellowship with the visitors. Another one trying to practice, play guitar, how to lead the worship. Yeah. But I appreciate the attitude, because you know what? They know no matter how much they fall short of that, they know Jesus will forgive them, but they just want to give the best for Jesus. Yeah. Amen? And I just look at it. After the whole thing over, it's not because of the talents. It's not because the worship is so awesome. After that, 18 men and women that came that day, that night, every one of them wanted to study the Bible. And I asked them, I said, what is it that makes you want to study Bible? You know what they said? Because I know this guy. If he can be like the way he is today, there must be God. That's true. Amen. Lastly, I want to talk about the glory. The glory that comes through the law. God really wants to dwell among the Israelites. That's why he's in Exodus 25 verse 8. Said, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people. God wants to dwell with them, but every time they keep hurting God. So the point that God said, okay, you just want to be free? You go, but I will not go with you. I want to dwell with you, but I want to have this holy relationship with each other. Moses said, no, I will not go if you don't go. Because you, as much as you want to dwell in me, with us, I want to dwell with you as well. Amen. Exodus 3, verse 21. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. But my face must not be seen. No one knows the face of God until today, all right? Moses just got the glimpse of God. And then in verse 5, this is so beautiful. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Look at the fellowship that God has with Moses. But also you see the compassion, the grace that God has for people. But also you see the truth, the justice that will happen if people don't do that. So that this is a combination of the glory of God. This is something serious that Moses has to take seriously. That Israelites got to take seriously. Because you know what? God wants to dwell. God wants presence with his people. But you understand, along the way, as time passed by, God's presence comes with the progress in the revelation. During Moses' time, they didn't know much about God's glory then. But as time passed by, God showed himself more and more and more. Firstly, in the tabernacle, with a close relationship with Moses. But eventually, this is what happened. God, Christ, is the end of the law. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. To the point that one day, Jesus come, God himself come, and dwell among his people. And now you and I, We are new covenant. We are very blessed. I have no more excuse today. I didn't have any more excuse because the revelation is so complete today. Amen. That you and I know that in me. If you are a Christian today, the Holy Spirit lives in you. This is amazing. Every spiritual gift is given to you. Every spiritual blessing is given to you. Amen? So we as a church, I think we have to become a group of people, a community, that when people come, they look at us, they could see the glory of God. Because you and I personally, in our daily walk with God, we have seen, we have experienced the glory of God. Amen. In an amazing way. Amen? Amen. I just want to close out by sharing with you, these are the people that I'm really proud of. These are disciples in Jakarta Church. Every disciples in the church of 1800, every one of them, they are ushers. We have no excuse to be not being ushers. We have disciples that came late. Used to come late. After they become an usher for 2 weeks, they said, now I understand. Amen. They come up with their own costume. We have people that just arrive at the front door. Just arrive. People already serve them. We have wheelchair ministry. And recently, we're so happy. We have a school of mission with 48 people joining. And we have 28 of them. Actually want to join full-time ministry. 3 already joined full-time ministry. We're excited because we know God's glory going to come even more through the church. Amen. We love you. I hope this is helpful for every one of us here. I just want you to know this, that every one of you will be used in a powerful way by God. We understand because God's grace comes before the law. We know there's a goodness that comes with the law. We know the guilt that God purposely worked through the law. But this is the end of it, that the glory is what God wants looking forward to have with you and me and through the church. Let's all pray together. Amen. God, thank you so much, God, for Jesus. And so much, Father, that in this new covenant, we can have Holy Spirit come and live in us, lead us. And just have such a great closeness with us, intimate relationship with us. God, I pray as we take communion, we appreciate your grace. We can see the goodness that you have for each and every one of us through your word. And help us, Father, to always understand, even though we fall, we strive our best. You never want us, Father, to prove ourselves. You never want us to limit ourselves. You never want us, Father, to compare ourselves even with other people that will make us insecure, make us become competitive, make us to have a wrong motive. But, Father, you want us to have a kind of relationship with you, the kind of security with you, that even though we fail, even though we sin, we can always come back to you. Because your blood has washed away our sin. That's why each and every one of us here, as your disciple, can be called saint. Father, thank you so much for such a privilege. Help us, Father, to be able to go and share this good news to many people. Father, I pray if people can just get rid of their guilt, how that person can be, God, before you. I pray, Father, as we take communion this morning, we're so grateful for your grace. And help us to show your glory to people in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.